Welcome to show number 917, this 13th day of January 2014. I'm Todd Cochran, your host. This is the Geek News Central Podcast, bringing you the latest tech and science news, coming to you live from beautiful Honolulu, Hawaii, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Save today at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. Fans, strap yourself in for a great show. Geek News Central, the longest running tech podcast, is ready. It's showtime. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Todd Cochran here from Geek News Central. I tell you, we got a great show lined up for you today. And a little different podcast today because we're strictly audio. The gear that is normally doing the video portion of the show is still inbound from Vegas after having concluded CES last week. So we're going to be here with you for two shows at least in a row that is audio only. And I'll be honest with you, it's a little odd for me because I think it's been about 300 episodes since I did an audio only podcast, which I guess, you know, this shouldn't be any different. There's no camera in front of me, but for a strange reason, it just feels really, really different tonight. But it's going to be nice to go old school. We're going to get nice and comfortable together and have a little conversation about what's going on in the tech space. Hey, if you are new to the show, we want to make sure that you get subscribed. All you have to do is go over to geeknewscentral.com. You'll find a place there on the website in the second column to subscribe to the show. And of course, there's a newsletter link there as well. Get signed up for the newsletter. That way, you'll get the show notes delivered directly to your inbox immediately following the show. So we want you to consider doing that. That way you will stay abreast of everything going on here. We want to give a warm, warm welcome to the Hana family members of the show. Thanks for being here. And hope you enjoyed the break. I kind of did. I really need from time to time, you know, some time off. And this was fantastic, you know, from the 26th of December to now. So, you know, I think what's that, about 18 days, which is quite a long time without doing a show, but had all the stuff going on at CES. We'll talk about that here in a few minutes. Hey, if you want to follow me on Twitter, you can do so at Geek News. You can email me here at the show if you've got comments today, geeknews@gmail.com. There's links on geeknewscenter.com in the show notes to follow me on G+ or on Facebook. And of course, all of the show notes for today's show will be at gncshownotes.com/917. And of course, our tech podcast channel on the Roku, Google TV, definitely kick over there and look at the tech podcast network over there. That's where all the content from this show is going to be. And of course, this show tonight is sponsored in part by our good friends over at GoDaddy. It's been an interesting couple of weeks. The day after Christmas, we did the show and I'd planned on doing one on normal schedule on the 30th, but things just kind of got nuts here and we were totally slammed and with the holidays and everything else. So I hope you forgive me for taking a break on that one show, but I tell you, it's really great to be back in the saddle here. The studio is absolutely empty. Cameras are down, lights are down. And if you're watching any of our CES coverage, you know why all that gear is went with us out to Vegas. So let's talk a little bit about what happened, just kind of catch you guys up. As you guys know, on the last time that we were together, my mom was here and visiting, and we had a great time with her. But her and I left on the red eye to Vegas on the night of January 2nd. And we got into Vegas on Friday. And really that day was kind of my take it easy day. You know, having flown the red eye, we didn't get a lot of sleep. But we got in, picked up some water at Walmart and, you know, just kind of did some basic running around. And then really kind of tried to get a good night's sleep. Me knowing that things would just absolutely go nuts starting the following day. Saturday, Well, met the team early for breakfast. Jack was there. Of course, Jeffrey, myself, and mom. So we basically had breakfast Saturday morning of the 4th. And after that, I took Jack and my mom over to the convention center, dropped them off. And Jeffrey and I proceeded over to FedEx to pick up the gear. Now, We got to FedEx, and the rental car that we rent every year is a Dodge Caravan. And the reason I rent is because all the seats lay down flat. But the two seats behind a driver and passenger seat this year would not, there was something wrong with the seats. They wouldn't lay down. And it really got kind of crazy. Oh, actually, Angelo was with us as well. Angelo had some stuff to pick up. We picked him up at the Rio. And when we filled the rental car, you couldn't have stuffed anything in the car. As a matter of fact, Angelo had stuff on his lap. We actually put stuff inside the door. I mean, it was 100% full. And we drove over to the convention center. And from that point, we obviously unloaded. Angelo grabbed his stuff and jumped in a cab and headed over to a new media expo to set up the booth over there. We'll talk about that here in a minute. But the booth setup went pretty good. I vowed this year to really kind of relax, breathe, try not to yell, because there's times, so much pressure. All this work is accumulated in making sure all the gear comes up, it works, everything's hooked up. And we took really kind of an extra day to get ready. And I think when you saw the live content Tuesday through Friday, you know that we really took that extra time to dial things in, and everything was really set. And we really had some pretty good coverage. Now, backing up a little bit, the Podcast Awards was Sunday, January 5th. Now, I had to go over to the convention center even on Saturday because Angelo had lost his voice. And I went over and helped man the booth for a couple of hours. And then Sunday, the same thing, went over there for a couple of hours and helped man the booth. But the Podcast Awards was supposed to be hosted by Dr. Drew. And it turns out that with the weather on the East Coast, Dr. Drew could not get out. So the New Media Expo folks worked really fast and came up with a new MC. But the Podcast Awards went off without a hitch. If any of you watched it live streamed, it was really pretty incredible. We were on the main stage, great graphics. Everything really looked good. And I want to thank the team over at New Media Expo for helping out and really, you know, making the production that much better. And we had a great time and, of course, announced all the winners. You can see all the winners over at podcastawards.com. So really, between running back and forth between New Media Expo and CES, right off the bat, it was like 18-hour days immediately. And Monday was no different because we had some evening events to cover. So really by Tuesday, you know, I'm like almost exhausted by the time we launched on Tuesday. So I decided not to be in the booth or not to be in the studio for the first live portion of the show. Actually, I stayed out most of the morning in the afternoon and took up the afternoon shift and closed the show. And then Wednesday morning came in and did the show live. But we had some challenges just a few days, at least 1 week before heading out to Vegas. The guys from F5 had to cancel. And it was just really sad that the F5 team couldn't come out and support because they were a big part of our floor coverage strategy. Annie Smith, who was one of the folks that was supposed to come out as well, he had canceled earlier due to a... basically had lost his job just before the show, and he thought he would be time better spent trying to find a new job. So, you know, we readjusted the schedule with the F5 guys and Annie Smith out of the picture. We were down four to begin with. Don Bain and Mike, his son, arrived Tuesday morning. We started right up and running, but just really into the second day of the show, Don had to leave, him and his son had to leave. There was an emergency with his family. So really we're down now at this point, six members. And so we really had to do some shuffling and some creative work. We got the show covered, maybe not as in depth as we would have wanted to, but I got the major areas that I wanted covered and so did the other guys. And Friday we spent some time running around, and actually the weather that was on the East Coast played into our favor because many of the vendors who would have completely been shut down on Friday were still up and running and there to talk to you, because a lot of people didn't get into the show until Wednesday. So they would be in there Tuesday, Wednesday, and they'd leave Thursday. Instead, the folks stayed Wednesday, Thursday, or in the show Friday morning, and then left in the afternoon Friday. So it worked to our advantage. We had more people to talk to, and it really went well. We've got some incredible videos, and I'm going to start pushing videos up on Geekness Central tomorrow. But I think we did about 225 interviews total. So the coverage, in my opinion, was really top-notch. And at the same point, we're starting to learn some new things about the show, covering it, different ways to do things. And next year, there may be a change. I may change the way we cover next year's show. Haven't fully decided how that's going to work yet. But definitely, I would expect for the 2015 coverage for changes to come. And it's just, I have to make a little bit of a change because of logistics. It's not as easy to get around the show if I don't have the number of people we need and so forth. So long story short, we're going to look at next year real close, and we'll keep you advised. But man, I got a lot of stuff for you this year. But pack up and shipping went good. We were done by 5:30. We had the studio packed up and at FedEx dropped off. So I was pleased with that. Had to hump it over to FedEx instead of putting it in the car and driving it across town. Cost me a little money to do the handling fee, but really it was out of my hair. And we were headed back to the hotel by 6 on Friday. Had a dinner at one of the hotels downtown. Team had a great time. And of course, everyone departed Saturday. I flew out Sunday, yesterday. Came back, got here in Honolulu about 2:30 in the afternoon, but had some great connections at the show and made some new advertiser friends, which is good, which you're going to probably see here very shortly. Had some great meetings. Overall, it was a fantastic show. Everything ran good. We had 720p the entire time for streaming. The bandwidth at the show with Cox Business being in there was incredible. We pushed for a little while, 5 megs. That worked fine. We figured that 2.3 gave us just as good a quality picture. So we pushed at 2.3 megs at 720p. And it just, I mean, the images were fantastic. So I'm pretty excited. But anyway, the gear will be here Thursday, Friday, I hope. And we've got a Saturday. We got a show with Rob with the new media show. So I'll be busy here putting the studio back together Friday. But other than that, everything's good. Now, a lot of what we do here at Geekness Central obviously falls upon me to bankroll it. And our good friends at GoDaddy have really come through this quarter and this month. And we have a really an incredible deal for you. And I want to talk a little bit about the new deals that are going on that they have put together for me for this month. And so what we've got is we've got a couple of offers. We've got 30% off new product orders. And you can find all this information at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. We got 30% off new product orders by using the promo code 30DEAL3. We've also got a 50% off new hosting plans with a free domain by using the promo code 50HOST7. So again, 50% off new hosting plans with a free domain by using the promo code 50HOST7. We've got an offer for 50% off the 12 months of their business website builder with a free domain. So this is a little different product than their hosting plan. But again, 50% off the first 12 months of a business website builder with a free domain by using the promo code 50WSB7. So again, 30% off. And 250% off orders. The information on those will be in the show notes tonight. So I want you guys to take advantage of these deals. That 50% off new hosting is fantastic. So we want to thank GoDaddy for being a sponsor here. Again, all these codes have been redeemed at GoDaddy.com upon checkout. You can find all the GoDaddy codes at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. That'll get you in there. It'll have the links to all the stuff. Of course, we've got banners up on the website as well. A whole host of codes ready to use for every occasion, and we want you to do just that, save a bunch of money. The weather here in Honolulu has been pouring, thunder and lightning. It's been crazy since I got home, And just as I was starting the show tonight, it sounded like it was going to pour again, but it gave me a little reprieve so we could get through the show. Emma stayed pretty healthy during the show. I think the flu shots, the extra sleep, the vitamins, taking stuff while I was there, really watching, shaking hands, you know, doing the fist bump. Had a little bit of a runny nose at the beginning of the show for just a couple of days. That kind of cleared up. Made it all the way through the show. Then on the way home, just a tiny tickle in the back of my throat. So I'm pretty happy, knock on wood here, that I may have avoided the major crud. So anyway, quick catch up. Not really quick, but what's been going on over the past 2 or 3 weeks. Thank you for your patience for me being out and about doing CES stuff. Definitely get subscribed to the special media feed at Geek News Central, because that is going to be blasting here directly. And again, if you got comments, geeknews@gmail.com. And of course, you can reach me on Twitter at Geek News. Let's go ahead and get into the stack. Let me look through the stuff here. I noticed we picked up a couple of insiders. So if you become an insider, make sure you reach out to Sam at insider@geeknewscentral.com. Sam takes care of all the insiders, gets you all on all the list. And if you're watching any of our live coverage, I'd love to hear your feedback. So we're going to go ahead and get into the full content tonight. Those of you that are new to the show, this is actually, we try to spend a little less than 10 minutes kind of talking about whatever's been happening around here. But since I've been gone so long is why we spent the extra time tonight just kind of chatting. Now, many of you are going to ask me, Todd, what was the hottest product at CES? And in my opinion, it was the handheld FLIR. That was pretty incredible. Just imagine having an infrared device that mounts to the back of your iPhone where you can see basically anyone in the dark that's displaying a heat signature. So that was probably the hottest thing I saw at the show, but there was a lot of stuff that really piqued my interest. One company that we did see at the show was Nest, and Nest was showing off their new smoke detector. And it turns out today, Google made the announcement that they purchased Nest for $3.2 billion. So this is a big acquisition. The Nest brand will live on under Tony Fadell's leadership as a separate company, basically with the resources of Google, but keeping the Nest name. I think this is a smart move by Google, because it's all about interconnected and connected homes. And what a better company to provide all those interfaces than Google. So we'll see where this goes, ties into the Android platform and everything. So very strategic move by Google. I think this was a good acquisition. I just can't believe no one else picked them up. So definitely very, very cool. So anyway, I'll have the link up in the show notes on that, of course, tonight. GNCshownotes.com/917. All right, the private Cygnus freighter has berthed at the space station with a huge science cargo and an ant colony. So with the moon as a spectacular backdrop, the Orbital Science Cygnus cargo spacecraft speeding at 17,500 miles per hour, loaded with a huge treasure trove of science, belated Christmas presents, and colonies of ants, rendezvous, oh my God, at the space station on early Sunday morning. And it was captured, and they're unloading the spacecraft now. So first delivery. Actually, second delivery by Cygnus. Congratulations to them. Hey, the Hubble telescope is seeing a star that may explode soon. The dying star SBW 2007 sits at the center of a photo on the website at space.com. And it's basically saying the scientists suspect the star, which is surrounded by gas and expelled, will die a violent explosive death as a supernova, possibly within our own lifetimes. So they're going to keep an eye on this one. So it's close to going supernova, so we'll watch that. There, if you're on the East Coast, there was launch of 3 military rockets tonight visible along the East Coast. So if you are in and about somewhere in Virginia, you may have saw those. But suborbital, I think these were suborbital launches. So very, very cool. One thing that an interview we did with Celestron, they were showing off a new telescope called Cosmos. Well, many of you may or may not remember the Cosmos show. Carl Sagan's Cosmos Menseries were on television for over three decades. And if you didn't ever watch a Cosmos episode, it was a pretty incredible way to really, as a kid, I remember getting a lot of information. Well, Cosmos is going to be back on TV. It's returning in 2014. And the original back in 1980 was on PBS. So this time, this new version of the TV series called Cosmos, A Space-Time Odyssey, with the first episode airing in March on Fox and the National Geographic Channel. At the same time, excuse me, the folks from Celestron have put together a brand new telescope in that they partnered up with them. So it's called the Cosmos Telescope. I think around $300, pretty nice starter system. I think you guys will get a kick out of it when you see the video, but look forward to that television series coming back. All right, you whiskey drinkers out there, Japan Suntory is going to buy U.S. Spirits Baker Beam. Yes, the folks that make Jim Beam and Maker's Mark for $13.6 billion in cash. So Suntory Holdings, that's a pretty big deal, is now going to own Jim Beam. Something just doesn't seem right with that. You know, I've drank Suntory whiskey. It's in my opinion, disgusting. So they definitely bought a good brand, Jim Beam, Maker's Mark, some tequila, and also I believe a cognac as well. So anyway, I don't know why I shared that with you guys, but I saw it and I thought it was interesting. Hey, one thing I did, I think I said earlier, but the Charter business folks really delivered at CES, but there's rumors today that Charter has offered to buy Time Warner Cable in a public appeal to shareholders. They formally offered on Monday to acquire the larger rival Time Warner for $37.3 billion. And this could be a contentious battle for control of the number two U.S. cable operator, because Charter, the number four cable operator, proposed $132.50 per share buyout as well. That's barely higher than where Time Warner Cable shares closed today, consisting of around $83 per share in cash and its own stock. So this is a big deal. I think Charter is between Charter and Cox, there could be a run on Time Warner. But right now, it looks like that Charter is the one that's being a little more aggressive. Maybe Cox is still being very quiet. But did I say Cox earlier? So Charter made the offer of $37.3 billion. So we'll see what happens with this offer and whether or not Cox gets in the game as well. So my apologies for getting screwed up there with Cox earlier. Had Cox on the mind, I guess. Little shot of H2O there. Gulping in your ear. Hey, taxi protests in Paris turned to guerrilla warfare as Uber car has been attacked on the freeway. Over on rudebaguette.com, apparently there's been a couple of instances in Paris where Uber cars have been attacked by up to 20 taxi cab drivers and slashing tires, busting windows. The taxis are not happy with Uber. The government has tried to set some short-term rules to stop Uber from expanding and being able to get too much of a foothold, but they're all headed to court. But definitely a lot of protests going on over Uber in France. And so Uber drivers over there taking life into their own hands. Switching gears here a little bit, Microsoft is reportedly more trusted than Apple, according to a recent study. With all the paranoia news around the NSA, people don't trust the tech world that much anymore. But there was a survey done by Forrester, and they found that they admitted that Microsoft was at the forefront of brand building with a unique and distinct brand identity that sets it apart from all their brands. And basically, they felt that based on the survey results, that the general public trust Microsoft more than Apple. They say a lot of the world uses Microsoft products and people relate to it. Well, Apple's like a prom king or queen, beautiful, but not really like us. What do you guys think? Is this true? What do you guys think? Do you guys trust Microsoft or do you trust Apple more? Love to hear from this audience. Drop me an email at geeknews@gmail.com. Tell me what you think about that. The folks at Accenture are going to be taking over the job of fixing healthcare.gov. Of course, Accenture's a widely known consulting giant, and they've been tapped to replace the embattled contractor that was largely responsible for creating the health portal launch in October that had such a miserable failure. So we'll see what this is going to happen. But they want a one-year contract to continue technical improvements to site, and the government chose not to renew its contract with CGI Group. And CGI Group, which has had the contract to run the website since 2011, so this is a big loss by CGI. They blew it. So, the government blew it, but definitely CGI took the brunt of the blame on that. Switching gears, Google is apparently working on revolutionizing online airline ticket purchases. Excuse me. So, you know, most major airlines have their own websites with booking engines, and there's a plethora of online travel agents that not only allow people to purchase tickets using their websites, but also through their mobile apps as well. Buying a ticket online isn't that hard, but Google is said to be working on a new tool that would revolutionize the way people purchase airline tickets online. The margins are so tight on airline tickets, I just don't know how they're really going to can make that much of a difference, because, you know, travel agents don't make that, you know, I think they make less than like $10 or $15 per ticket sale. So there's not a lot of money in it. Hey, you know, one thing is nice about doing just an audio only show, because I can sit here in the studio, not having to have worried about really what I look like today. And I'm a little bit more relaxed today, not wearing a collared shirt, just wearing a t-shirt. It's kind of nice just to relax here and just have a little chat with you guys instead of worrying about the camera. All right, CNN has consolidated its tech coverage. And I really never followed CNN's tech stuff that much anyway, but CNN and CNN Money will merge their respective tech desk into one team headed by a New York-based editor, David Goldman. So anyway, they're making this, trying to clean it up, I guess, trying to have a little more impact. Of course, when there is, companies like The Verge and Mashable and Engadget are really tearing things up. Verge and Mashable took on their first outside investors last week. So those companies are raising money, and they're competing with the big boys, at least on the tech scene. Over on Gizmodo, Bitcoin fragmentation is getting out of hand. There's a new Bitcoin, or basically digital currency, that's launched. It's called Zerocoin, an ultra-anonymous cryptocurrency that otherwise is a lot like a dozen of others newly launched cryptocurrencies. In a way, Zerocoin is a useful thing, especially for drug dealers and money launderers. While many people believe that Bitcoin is an anonymous currency, it's actually not. Every single transaction is recorded and linked to an account, unlike what's going on with Zerocoin. So the bad guys really want a way to move stuff around, and this appears to be the way to do it. Space Telescope Hubble has snapped a 600 light year wide picture of the Manic Star Spawning Nebula. So this is pretty amazing. The telescope can take images in a lot of different wavelengths. They use a near infrared view to get a glimpse of more than 800,000 stars and protostars embedded in the nebula, which are behind clouds of dust that can only be pierced by near-infrared light. The Tarantula Nebula is 170,000 light-years away in the Large Magellanic Cloud, a small satellite galaxy to our own Milky Way. Astrobuffins are particularly keen on studying the nebula because of the amount of starbirth going on in there. with Stars Red, Pro Stars, Age Red Giants, and Super Giants, all giving insight into stellar evolution. So the huge mosaic is made up of 438 separate pictures and spans 600 light years. It's pretty incredible. I made it my new background on my desktop. Once you see it, you're just going to fawn over this. You're going to want this on your desktop as well. So very, very cool. Link will be up from the register. There's a two incredible interviews on Wired. One, I spent 2 hours talking with the NSA's bigwigs, and here's what has them mad. So this is the first article by the folks at Wired. Then based on the interview he did at the NSA, and along with all the major other tech companies, there's an article out called How the NSA Almost Killed the Internet. And this came out last week. And I was tonight spent quite a bit of time reading this. This is an incredible essay. It's multiple pages. It's a great read for any of you that want to keep following what's going on in this space. But it's good to read the discussion that he had with NSA and what's making them mad, and then read the full article that he basically wrote about how the NSA almost killed the internet. So link will be up in the show notes. Hey, one thing we missed at CES, they had some autonomous vehicles. We just ran, I mean, literally ran out of time. We wanted to drive them, but one of the vehicles that was there was the Audi, the new Audi that can predict when a parking space will open up. And they've got some pretty incredible technology coming into vehicles. Now, the Detroit Auto Show is going on this week. And, of course, there was a new F-150 announced, a Fiesta as well from Ford. Chevy announced a line of products and vehicles as well. But this new Audi vehicle basically uses intelligence coming off of parking meters to know, specifically in San Francisco and nearly 700 parking stalls in Los Angeles, that when a parking space is going to become available or when one is vacant. And basically can get there and get a spot, maybe. But anyway, I have a link up in the show notes. These cars are getting smart. They're going to be doing all kinds of cool things to try to make our life better. Do you drink caffeine? Well, a team of researchers at Johns Hopkins has published results demonstrating that caffeine seems to boost long-term memory. In a double-blind study, participants were shown a series of images soon after taking either a caffeine pill or a placebo. 24 hours later, they were tested on similar but not identical series of images. Those who took the caffeine pill were more likely to classify images as being different, identical, or similar to those seen the previous day. Researchers referred to this as a pattern separation test. The benefits of caffeine on long-term memory of honeybees was covered by Slashdot some time ago. So don't be afraid to drink some caffeine. It'll help your memory. Another article run a Wired that I don't necessarily agree with. They feel that the PC's death may also mean the web's demise, because they're saying everyone's just going to do everything with an app. I don't know. What do you guys think? The general crux is they're saying that as less people use desktops and more people use mobile devices, that largely the web as we know it today will die and all of us will just be using a series of apps. Do you agree with that, or do you think you'll be spending a lot of time on websites in the future? I think I will. Maybe I'm different. I don't know. Love to hear from you guys, geeknews@gmail.com. Well, one thing that Verge did at CES that I wish we would have thought to do was that they used their broadcast badge. And if I have a broadcast badge, I basically can get anywhere in the CES or anywhere in the LVCC. They probably used their broadcast badge to basically get access to the hall at night. And they went around and took some cool pictures of basically these beautiful big booths all set up, had been vacuumed, but were just empty. And hallways empty, dark. You know, these guys were there editing. And they had a studio right there, basically just down from us in the North Hall. And so they basically accessed the building, able to access the exhibit area and go through and basically take pictures. So it's pretty cool to see all these booths just empty, dark, because most electricity gets shut off at night unless you pay for the power to be on 24/7. That's what we do. We pay for 24/7 power. Costs us more money, but this is a pretty good picture series that The Verge captured. Hey, the Supreme Court is going to let stand ruling a bolstering gadget privacy at U.S. borders. So this is good. Basically, there was an indirect boost to the privacy rights of travelers while crossing the border to the United States. Without issuing a ruling, the justices let stand an appeals court decision that U.S. border agents may indeed undertake a search of a traveler's gadgets content on a whim, just like they could with a suitcase or a vehicle. That is known as the border search exception of a United States law, where travelers can be searched without a warrant as they enter the company. Now, the Obama administration has aggressively used this power to search travelers' laptops, sometimes copying the hard drives before returning the computer. However, in a rare win for digital privacy, the Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals ruled last year, concluded that a deeper forensic analysis by border officials using software to decrypt password-protected files or to locate deleted file now requires a reasonable suspicion of criminal activity, an outcome the justice refused to tinker with today. This means, in essence, authorities must have some facts rather than just a hunch that illegal activities afoot to perform the forensic analysis on electronics seized along the border. Now, the nature of contents of electronic devices differs from that of luggage as well. Laptop computers, iPads, and the like are simultaneously offices and personal diaries. They contain the most intimate details of our lives, financial records, confidential business documents, medical records, and private emails. So this was a ruling that the San Francisco-based appeals court ruled last year. So the Ninth Circuit's ruling covers Alaska, Arizona, California, Hawaii, Idaho, Montana, Nevada, Oregon, and Washington State. Now, it's a victory of sorts for the public at large, but California convicted sex offender Howard Cotterman, who basically said that this is where this case originated from, that the decision upholds a forensic search on his gear that authorities said led to the discovery of hundreds of child porn images that can now be admitted in court as evidence. So he had challenged that examination and lost on appeal, but the appeals court found enough reasonable suspicion based on the fact that this guy was on a lookout list because he was a convicted sex offender. So that's why they were still able to search his laptop legally. And but the rest of us, because of this guy's perversion and what happened with the rulings, we are now going to be a little bit more protected. Not completely, but this guy would still get caught by the immigration authorities because he was on a watch list. Right, moving on here. Windows 9? Well, apparently yes. A little over a year after Microsoft released Windows 8, and a mere 3 months after it pushed out a major update, Windows 8.1, rumors are about that Windows 9 is already on its way. This is according to Paul Thurrott, super site for Windows. Apparently, Microsoft will begin discussing the next version of Windows, codenamed Threshold, at least for the moment at the April's Build conference. Threshold is more important than any specific update, he writes. Windows 8 is tanking, T-A-N-K-I-N-G, harder than Microsoft's comfortable discussing in public. So that's big. Microsoft intends Threshold to clean up at least a portion of Windows 8's mess. So development on the latest operating system will supposedly begin in late April, which means developers who attend Build won't have access to an early alpha release. If this reporting proves correct, Microsoft isn't abandoning the new Windows interface that earned such lackluster response. It's betting the format, once tweaked, will somehow revive the operating system future. I don't know about that. A lot of 4K stuff at CES, and the screens were just incredible. Now, if they had 4K television programming that was available, I might consider a 4K TV. But 4K is a long ways off for the majority of us. Blu-ray, though, is saying that they're going to be going to a 4K. Just as Blu-ray discs helped HDTV, a consumer standard, become a consumer standard, the industry guardians behind the technology and its standards, Blu-ray Disc Association, believe offering native content via disc will do the same to jumpstart the consumer demand for Ultra HD, which is also known as 4K television sets. But the problem is there's no 4K programming right now. So we'll see where this leads. But, you know, legitimately, downloading and streaming just high-definition content can be pretty difficult. 4K as a streaming platform will probably never happen. It's unless we get incredible increases in speed. So we'll see how this develops, but definitely going to be seeing more of 4K. Hey, it's Copyright Week, and there's a great article on Tech Dirt about Copyright Week and why Hollywood and the U.S. Trade Representative hate transparency. And as you guys remember, 2 years ago, the U.S. Trade Representative Ron Kirk told Reuters effectively that he would not release the negotiating text of the Trans-Pacific Partnership because if the public knew what was in TPP, it would not allow the agreement to be approved. His reference was to a previous attempt at a trade agreement, the Free Trade Area of Americas, which failed after negotiators released some draft text. Kirk and the entire USTR seems to have taken exactly the wrong lessons from this. Rather than recognizing the way to pass comprehensive trade agreements to actually be more open, involve the public. Now, Senator Elizabeth Warren wrote to the current USTR Michael Froman last summer, and she said this: "I have heard the argument that transparency would undermine the administration's policy to complete the trade agreement because public opposition would be significant. If transparency would lead to a widespread public opposition to a trade agreement, then that trade agreement should not be policy of the United States. I believe in transparency and democracy, and I think the U.S. Trade Representative should too." So what has happened is the EFF and a bunch of other organizations has designated this week as Copyright Week, a chance for the public, that is us and you, me and you, or you and I, to weigh in and discuss copyright law and where it needs to go. They put together a series of principles that are worth reading. Each day, Tech Dirt will discuss different topics about this, but I want you guys, I have the link up to this article on Tech Dirt, but I'm also going to send you over to the EFF. Day one is about transparency, talking about transparency. Day two is about building and defending a robust public domain. Day three is about open access. Day four, you bought it, you own it. Day five, fair use rights. And day six, getting copyright right. If you want to stay informed, the EFF website has got a place for you to fill out and get on their email list. It's at EFF.org/copyrightweek. For those of you who want to get over there today. So this is very cool. I'm glad that the EFF is doing this. And there's some great links here and information where you can get educated on some of these type of issues. A new denial service attack is taking down gaming sites, delivering crippling 100 gigabits per second floods. Campaign costs celebrity players dearly by disrupting lucrative video streams. So some of the folks that are really good video game players, I guess a lot of you watch them, and at the same time, they get paid because there's ads running on top of it. So these denial of service attacks are huge and are affecting streaming sites that are basically where you can go watch gameplay. Some more on that as that story develops. Hey, moms and dads, and those of you that are teenagers, a study has found that U.S. reality shows have contributed to the record decline in teen pregnancy. It's an interesting thing. A study from Wesley College and the University of Maryland finds that MTV's Teen Mom and 16 and Pregnant contributed to a record decline in U.S. teen pregnancy. This conclusion is in stark contrast to researchwire.co.uk reported last week, which claimed that reality shows, particularly Teen Mom and 16 and Pregnant, gave young viewers unrealistic ideas about teen pregnancy and are probably a contributing factor to the problem. So there's pretty conclusive evidence, if you read this article, that shows that these shows led to a 5.7% reduction in teen pregnancies between 2009 and 2010, which is significant. And, you know, if you've ever watched one of these shows, I think it was stuck on a channel one time and I saw one and was punished through it. It just shows the trials and tribulations that teenagers go from a unexpected pregnancy. Completely switching gears here. Google Glass. Sleepy at the wheel? Wearing Google Glass? Now there's an app for that. A new app is available to keep people from nodding off while driving. The new software for Google Glass head-mounted computer system was recently made available. It's called DriveSafe. It's a way to keep drivers alert and direct them to a place to rest if they get sleepy. So this is pretty cool. The software uses an infrared light sensor and a tilt angle sensor in glass. The IR sensor can detect winks and blinks, and the tilt sensor can measure how a user's head is oriented. Both of those metrics were used for the group to develop a formula to determine if someone is falling asleep. An alert appears if you are falling asleep. The notification may say, "Alert, it appears you're falling asleep," and will direct you to the closest rest area. Very, very cool. Our cars need to be watching us like that. Hey, WordPress creator Matt Mullen is basically taking over the company as CEO. He's switching jobs. Matt's changing jobs with Tony Schneider, who has helmed the company for the past 8 years. And Matt wrote kind of a snarky post that said, no one under 30 should run a company. And now that he has turned 30, he's going to take over. And so anyway, very, very cool. Of course, the company I'm referring to is Automattic. And so Matt is taking over for that as CEO. And then Tony is going to be working some of the same stuff that Matt did. So we'll see what happens with Automattic from here on out. Hey, good. I got an article on Extreme Tech talking about the 2014 Ford Fiesta ST. And basically, it's a subcompact. It's a hot rod at heart with tech to spare. I drove one of these and on a performance course. Had a great time with the Ford Fiesta, a little small car that's pretty zippy. Hey, high-profile Google users. Google Plus users will get better, more private email settings. Gmail's invasive new Google Plus integration doesn't apply to the elite. And you know, they rolled out a potential invasive new feature a few days ago. If you have both a Gmail address and a Google Plus account, other Google Plus and Gmail users will soon be able to send messages right into your inbox, even if you never gave them your email address by default. Google says it's letting anyone on Google Plus send messages to your inbox, even if you don't have them in a circle, making the service completely opt out rather than opt in. And but there is a way to kind of control some of the stuff that's happening. And in this article on TheVerge.com, I have links on how you can make changes. But apparently they're making changes already for the high profile people on Google Plus so that you just can't send them an email, even though you don't have their address. Well, Lindsay Lohan, Neil Patrick Harris, apparently are using Twitter to help them get free Uber rides. So they've been posting their Uber promo codes on their Twitter feeds, telling people to go sign up for Uber. And when people do, and the first time they book a ride, they get $10 or $20 credited to their account. So this is kind of an interesting move. Some folks are thinking it's a little sneaky of them. I think it's smart. You know, if you're going to promote Uber in your tweet and you got a promo code to share and the people use the promo code, why shouldn't they benefit? Some people are complaining about it, but hey, that's, they can play the same game we can. I wish I had 1.6 million or 3.6 million followers to be able to tweet the same type of links out. And that's a great way for, you know, someone to support a fan or to support, they're obviously rich already, those folks. But, you know, if they can do it, they can. I don't begrudge them at all. Hey, GoDaddy is touting simplicity over price as it launches an Office 365 sale. Now, GoDaddy, of course, is a massive domain registrar, also a sponsor here. They've inked a deal with Microsoft to sell Office subscriptions. This is big. This is smart. Now, there's a lot of Microsoft folks at GoDaddy. I didn't know that. GoDaddy's chief executive, Blake Irving, was formerly with Microsoft, where he led the Windows Live team. Among others, Rick Ames, who heads design and user experience at GoDaddy, was also once at Microsoft. So under the partnership, which companies cast as a strategic agreement, GoDaddy will sell three Office 365 plans linked to its domains of its customers who are predominantly small business owners. At the lowest price end, Email Essentials, a $3 per user per month plan, will provide email hosting only with storage limited to 5 gigs for messages and 2 gigs for other files. So there's going to be a variety of different plans that they're going to make available. But this is big. And as you go up in the service offering, the price goes up. I think the top end's like $12.50, and prices in between for different services you can get with Office 365. So I'm sure we'll probably have some promo codes for that in the future, being GoDaddy as a sponsor here. All right, an article over on TechDirt. The FDA wants to dig through everyone's stuff in order to monitor online sentiment. The FDA would like to know what you're thinking. It doesn't want to read minds, and it couldn't care less about your lesser non-FDA-related thoughts. That stuff's for other agencies with even creepier intentions and more nefarious tool sets. No, the FDA wants to know what you, the public, thinks about the FDA. And by think, it means post stuff on the internet. By stuff, it means almost everything. So regulatory focus via the Pharma Marketing blog reports that the FDA is seeking bids from contractors in order to provide the agency with assistance in monitoring online sentiment. So a lot of companies do that. So the FDA must want to see what people are thinking about them. Hey, do you have a Yahoo email address? Well, the Yahoo ad malware attack was far greater than anticipated. The malware attack took advantage of Yahoo's Java-based ad network around Christmas Eve, but that attack was far greater than anticipated. The company confirmed on its help webpage, initially believed to have affected only European users on January 3rd. The malware ad attacks were then said to have occurred from December 31st to January 3rd, but Yahoo on Friday revealed the attack actually took place between December 27th and January 3rd and affected users outside of the European Union as well. It's not clear how many users may have been affected, but the company said up to 2 million machines might have been compromised during the four-day attack. Yahoo isn't offering specific help resources to users that think they may have been affected by the hack. Instead, it's offering standard tips to Windows users, advising them to make sure that the latest Windows patches are installed, update to the latest version of Java and Adobe, and use an antivirus program that updated regularly. Apparently, only Windows users have been targeted by the ad hack. So be aware of that. What's going on with Yahoo? The Pirate Bay founder that's been in jail, Gottfried Svartholm, I just destroyed his name, appears to have, having been in solitary for such a long time, there's been some move afoot to help him get access to more books and stuff that he can read. So there's been a petition done, and so now he's actually got access to a PlayStation 2. He's got access to some of his books. So he isn't completely isolated. He is going to be able to have at least some things to do while he's sitting in prison. Target has revealed that the malware that basically was responsible for their big attack was installed on its point of sale registers. This should not come as a surprise because we know that the point of sale registers have been largely suspect and have been easy to hack. But we know that Target was the victim of a massive security breach, one that led to a personal information of more than 40 million users being compromised. Target does not know who is behind this, but they revealed that the malware that caused this breach was actually installed on its point of sale registers. They're currently working with law enforcement to find out. And so it's crazy, but Target say, hey, we're responsible. And he promises that they're going to make significant changes and out of this situation and will be a better company. But there's also some reports that a similar attack happened to three other major U.S. retailers that really didn't get as much press as Target did. But apparently those retailers are yet to be named, but did have some credit cards stolen over the holidays. So hopefully we'll hear from those vendors soon or those companies. Hey, PayPal started testing seamless online store checkouts. PayPal can be a hassle for online shopping. You know, you have to leave the store, go over to a PayPal and get pushed back. So PayPal's finishing rolling out its new in-context checkout. The technology lets you enter all your billing and shipping info through a pop-up. You never have to visit PayPal itself, and the interface remains simple regardless of what device you're using. Only a handful of stores are testing this, but the company promises that more large retailers will get to use it in the first half of 2014. So we'll see where this leads. Let's skip that one. The FAA wants to create safety guidelines for drones. Well, of course. You know, we have drones basically above us pretty much all the time now. Drones have actually become pretty popular, as we all know. And but there's a variety of them. There's model aircraft one. There's some that can fly at high altitudes. But basically, the FAA is looking at the hobbyists at this point. They're not supposed to fly higher than 400 feet within 3 miles of an airport. However, it's easy for people who are not aware of the guidelines to get in trouble, given how popular drones and quadcopters have become. They're usually capable of flying up to 1,000 feet and can easily be controlled using a smartphone. So there's some concern that these could become aircraft crash hazards. So we'll see what the FAA comes up with. Hey, China's moon rover and lander have woke up after a long downtime. They've been out of business for 2 weeks, so they're up and running again. Apparently, they booted up just fine. This should give you some comfort. Malware was found in the control room of a Japanese nuclear reactor. Luckily, it's a Japanese nuclear reactor that is not being allowed to be run right now by the Japanese government, so there's no threat. But lots of documents were downloaded, which would make it suspect that they were looking for information on other reactors in Japan. So I'm sure the Japanese power authorities are freaking out in a big, big way. Hey, Twitter is basically making an update to their website. The web update is going to be basically matching your phone interface. So they're trying to have basically an all-in-one feel when you're using the app either on your mobile device or going to the website. So expect those updates to roll out and appear on your homepage soon. All right, final article tonight. There's a satellite that's going to be launched next year. And I don't know if this is, I saw this link from somewhere, and I don't know if this is how much reality is with this, but they're saying that they're going to send this satellite out on a journey that will bring it back to Earth in 50,000 years. Now, I don't know how they're going to do this, but they're providing each person on the planet, you can write a note of up to 6,000 characters, that's about 4 pages, of text that will go on with the satellite when it's launched. If you want more information on this, you can go to keo.org is the website. I'll have a link up to the page that has the info. But they want to launch a satellite next year, and they want your information to be on board so that it can be shared as sort of a time capsule at 50,000 years from now. So I thought that would pique your interest. Again, I don't know how viable this project is, so be careful what you put on the website because they are asking for some additional information. All right, that's going to wrap up the show tonight. Spent some time talking about what happened at CES. Went through some tech. I'm glad to be back in the saddle here. I was missing all you guys, and we definitely want to hear from you. We did get some emails in, and I'll go through a couple of those here tonight so that you can hear from some of the fans of the show. Got an email from Jeff. He says, hey, Todd, Windows 8 seemed to be on the tech world's mind this weekend, but for all the wrong reasons. That's because Paul Thurrott, an independent reporter who we've had on the New Media Show before, who mostly covers Microsoft, published a report saying Microsoft is working on a new version of Windows that addresses problems that people have with Windows 8. I do thank you for that link, Jeff. I do appreciate it. Got an email here from Ron. He said, "Hey, Todd, according to reports during CES, Samsung Display has been privately showing a new foldable display prototype. SDC continues to develop their foldable OLEDs, and they are still only to track there, and they are still only tracked to release the first foldable mobile in 2015. According to the report, the prototype panel was at 5.68 inches in size. It uses a polyimide plastic substrate, and it includes a touch panel. The touch panel uses metal mesh electrodes instead of ITO, which is brittle and cannot be used in foldable displays." I'll have the link up in the show notes for you. One thing that was interesting was we saw some curved LG phones that just scared me. Someone spun their tires outside my house here just now. That never happens. But anyway, it was pretty cool. It's got a self-healing back to it. You know how your back of your phone always gets scratched up? This new self-healing back will actually, you put it underneath the sun or a heat lamp, and it cleans up. Got an email from Peter. He says, "Hey, Todd, just listened to show 916. Best hard luck story for Christmas. Migrated a Mac iPad mini just before second edition. Glad I did, as I'm still on OS 6. No bio entry good. And in November, we get a visitor who likes to scratch things. So when the iPad got a makeover, I retired the room only to find a pesky push notice, which I did not want to deal with at the time. Finally turned the iPad off. Reading the small print as I did, bad move. Apple was trying to tell me that I was one of five customers selected random to receive a new Apple computer. The electric chainsaw, Black & Decker released a model, recalled due to problems." Okay, this is just running on here. To receive a new Apple computer. The electric chainsaw, Black & Decker released a model, recalled due to problems. We made one, runs off a car battery. Thanks again, Todd. Have a great year. We'll join insiders. Regards, Pete." Oh, Pete's in central Tasmania, where sheep get nervous and geeks are thin on the ground. So we'll give Peter a break here because English is a second language. But so you migrated to Mac, had an iPad mini before second. Okay, so I'm just reading through here, trying to make a little more heads or tails. But Peter, thanks for your email. Let's hear what else. I think that's it. That's all we had in comments. If you want to send comments to show, geeknews@gmail.com. And we encourage you to try to make it as legible as possible so that it doesn't sound like I'm reading back gibberish. But geeknews@gmail is a place to send comments. Follow me on Twitter @geeknews. Thanks to GoDaddy for being a sponsor here. Don't forget about those 50% off deals for a website builder and their hosting accounts, and 30% off other product purchases. You'll find all that information at geeknesscenter.com/GoDaddy. And of course, we want to thank all our insiders who are putting up cash every month to support the show. It's greatly appreciated. I really do appreciate all your guys' support in a big, big, big way. And of course, consider becoming an insider if you're not one already. I want to thank everyone for being here, and Happy New Year. I know we're already a few days into January. But hope you're following your New Year's resolutions. And maybe most of you already broke them. But we'll be back with you Thursday with another audio-only podcast. Todd Cochran here from Geek News Central, geeknews@gmail.com, @geeknews on Twitter. We'll see you next time. Aloha.